Is the economy in much more trouble than we thought? The soft landing, that narrative seems to be melting away. First, it was GDP that disappointed. Then a bunch of concerning PMI numbers. Jolts showed that actually hiring can get worse. And then finally, the unemployment rate and the underemployment rate rose. And even the establishment survey stumbled for the first time since maybe the LBJ administration. The household survey continues to indicate desperate struggles. And then on top of everything, we got a big PMI shocker to round off what was a very difficult and concerning week. We've got a whole bunch of interesting data, very, very concerning numbers coming out of the U.S. labor market, maybe reshuffling the entire picture of the macroeconomy. To help me make sense of this, I'm going to bring in Mr. Steve Van Meter. Steve, where do you think we should start? Because there was a lot to go over this past week. I mean, payroll report, finally, it wasn't a negative number, but it was one that was well below expectations. The household survey, same stuff there. The ISM non-manufacturing, that one was a real shocker. Where do you think we should start here?
Jeff, we absolutely have to start with payrolls because after we saw the ADP print, I mean, you had to have the expectations were high here that, of course, the BLS was going to put out this fantastic number. We didn't get it. And so now all of a sudden, what we're seeing is the U.S. labor market that was supposed to be strong and robust. And what I understand, this is what we were told was going to pull us into this soft landing narrative is now suddenly seeming like we talked about last week, falling GDP growth to the downside, not really a good sign. But yeah, I think we should start with the labor market here.
Yeah, what we said last week, just to review quickly, is that over time, more and more statistics and accounts migrate from, hey, everything's great to, well, this isn't looking so good. And in just the last week, we had GDP move in that direction, weakest rate in 2 years. And now the establishment survey, which had been invulnerable for forever, it seemed like. Yes, there was downward revisions for every month, but usually the downward revision didn't completely change the picture. Now we get the payroll report for April, and it comes in at 175,000, which in the grand scheme of things, 175,000 isn't incredibly awful. It isn't some major big time drop in payrolls. But from where payrolls had been, where this particular survey had been for quite a long time, and you and I both believe that it's overstating the job market, 175 might as well be a small minus. When you factor in the statistical processes and smoothing that goes into the number, it could very well be down closer to zero. Private payrolls, we were just talking before we started recording, the government jobs, they're starting to shrink and go away. Job growth is going away. So private payrolls were 167. That's not all that great. And even private payrolls at 167, that wouldn't have been a good number before the pandemic, let alone here we are in 2024. I remember what year it is. And that's just where it all begins. We got the the average hourly work week fell back to 34.3. The hours index was negative. And of course, that led to your favorite statistics, which are on weekly earnings, hours plus wages. If there's fewer hours, there's going to be fewer pay, less pay. There was a negative for that as well. So the payroll report on the establishment survey side, the whole thing on the establishment survey side, for the first time that I can remember, suggesting that soft landing is now actually in jeopardy.
Yeah, absolutely, Jeff. Because if you look at the equity market, if we're going to call that a proxy for the economy, which of course I say that a little bit jokingly.
No, we're not going to do that. Other people could do that, but we're not going to do that.
No, we're not. And you see that everyone's kind of been front running like this no landing, soft landing scenario. And then you look, okay, stocks are up off of this weak payroll report. But what the weak payroll report is saying, look, all of you people chasing the equity market higher that have bought into this narrative, you've got it completely wrong. You think maybe a cut here or two this year will somehow magically change things. You gotta understand, the U.S. economy is a slow moving ship, like a giant oil tanker in the ocean. Once it starts to decelerate, you don't just, spin the, engine the other direction and all of a sudden things magically change. You're starting to create momentum to the downside here. And this is a big concern. As you said, the average hourly earnings down. That was, of course, the Fed says they want that. What they realize is they don't want that at all. What we're seeing here is that total compensation means the consumers have less money to spend on the discretionary side and starting now to filter in other parts of the economy. Jeff, to me, this is not a good sign and not the right direction for the equity markets to be heading.
Momentum is a huge part of it because this is not something that just showed up in April. You never want to make too much out of a single data point anyway, or especially a payroll report, because it could turn around and go in the opposite direction the next way or the next month. But this is not something that just showed up in April of 2024. We've been talking about this since really last October. We said something changed, something shifted September into October. And more as we get the benefit of hindsight and better perspective looking backwards, that's exactly what we're seeing. We saw in some of the survey data, and we'll get to the ISM in just a minute, which is a huge one. All of them started to suggest that last summer's oil price spike really did some substantial damage. And that damage was then reinforced by another oil price spike early part of this year. So over the last 6-7 months or so, it's been a little bit at a time, but there seems to be, again, with better perspective and hindsight, with more clarity, there was a turn in the U.S. economy. The U.S. economy, not overseas, but the U.S. economy and the labor market around last fall. And it got deeper and deeper into the end of last year. Maybe a little bit of a rebound in January, February, but not really all that much. Didn't change the picture. And now we're getting the second really feeling that that momentum has indeed shifted to the downside, to the point where even we're talking about an establishment survey miss. I thought we'd never see that day again.
Yeah, Jeff, because one of the things in the report was that leisure and hospitality jobs actually were declined. Now, if we look at April, we think, okay, we're heading into the summer months, which is, well, generally when people go and do things in the leisure and hospitality space, what you would expect, and rightfully so, would be hiring to ramp up ahead of that, give employers time to get people trained, get everyone in their jobs as the summer rush hit. And so what this is telling us is just what you mentioned with the spike in oil prices, is that consumers finally were just getting slightly ahead of inflation, and then they get slammed with these higher energy prices, and it's almost an immediate reaction that they're cutting their spending. And that is a problem we're seeing here, because as they cut their spending, of course, as we noted, the Fed wants average hourly earnings to go down, which is staggering. They don't want people to keep up with inflation. It's just going to lead to more demand issues because, of course, as demand goes away, employers say, well, I don't need to give out big raises. And oh, by the way, if you think I do, there's a huge amount of people, almost nearly 1.8 million on unemployment. I can go get one of them. And odds are they might be eager to work for a lower wage than you. That is a challenge. We start to see the beginning of this downward spiral. There's really nothing now that's going to stop it from continuing.
Well, Steve, rate cuts, rate cuts, rate cuts, rate cuts. I know that's the idea, is that, okay, even if things get really tough, the Fed's going to come in and save the day by lowering interest rates. Now, even assuming that rate cuts had any of that kind of effect, which is a bad assumption to begin with, history has shown time and again, rate cuts don't do anything for the economy. But even assuming that was the case, that rate cuts do help, Jay Powell just went from the dove to hawk, and that he just the press conference last week, he basically said, yeah, well, we're not really confident over inflation. So the Fed's reaction function, the so-called reaction function, is still stuck on the consumer price side. So even if you think that rate cuts are going to help, the Fed is going to be even slower than it normally is to shift toward rate cuts, because shifting toward rate cuts would, when they're not confident about consumer prices, mean they would raise the risk of consumer prices reigniting all over again. Of course, none of that is actually true. None of that actually happens.
Wait, Jeff, wait a second. We're getting QTs getting cut, $60 billion to 25. Isn't that like a rate cut? I mean, that's going to save the economy, don't you think?
Yeah, the only people who are saying that are people who are in the stock market business, right? It's, first of all, QT has nothing to do with rate cuts or anything. QT is simply the Federal Reserve lowering their balance sheet because they have to get ready for the next QE. They can't go into the next QE with the same balance sheet level, or the balance sheet would just ratchet higher and higher and higher every time they do a QE. So balance sheet runoffs have nothing to do with tightening. It's not tightening. Tightening has been something that people have invented as a way to make it seem like bank reserves are relevant. But all the Fed is really doing, if you put a gun to Jay Powell's head, he would tell you, all we're really doing is lowering the balance sheet so we can get ready for the next QE. So reducing the pace of QT, all that does is all it really says is that the Fed isn't sure how low they should go with bank reserves because they don't know how the system works. And that's not something you have to take my word for either. There's a quote that I pulled off of a Federal Reserve report from, I think, 2022, where they basically say, we're not really sure how QT works, or even if it does, as far as bank reserves. So what the Fed is saying is, we don't know what the level of bank reserves are, so we're just going to be careful about how we run off the balance sheet. But we're lowering the balance sheet because we need to get ready for the next QE.
But Jeff, isn't that the point? Well, okay, in June, we're going to do some we're going to reduce the pace of QT. And maybe we're going to have a cut later this year. And everyone gets excited because it's as if that's what makes the difference. And I think if you go around and ask the average consumer, if the Fed cut rates 0.25% or even raised them 0.25%, would you know the difference? And the answer is they wouldn't. So the notion that somehow adjusting the federal funds rate down a little bit is going to change things. Well, let's take a look at, of course, the ISM services, because that is maybe the biggest red flag we just got.
Absolutely. I don't know about you, Steve, but I went to the grocery store and bought an extra banana because the Fed's QT is only $25 billion instead of $30. That's a really good point. I mean, nobody stops and thinks about how this stuff is supposed to work. And really, it's all about sentiment. If you think somehow that reducing the pace of QT is somehow helpful to the economy, then maybe you might act that way. But as you say, nobody pays attention to this outside of anybody's trading equities. But yes, the bigger story here, on top of the establishment survey stumble and the unemployment rate rising up and the underemployment rate hitting 7.4%, is the services sector from the ISM. That's something I talked about last month when it was better than it was this month. We have the first month under 50 since December of 2022. It was at 49.4, and December 2022 was because of cold weather. So we got the first under 50 that's legitimately about the economics of the situation. And as Steve and I were just saying, it's been moving lower since last fall. And now it's reaching proportions that you would associate with outright recession. And that includes the employment figure. The employment figure from ISM, remember, this is services, this is not manufacturing. ISM services was 45.9. And that one, again, you can see the same thing, that it matches up with the household survey. Something changed last fall, and the services employment index is starting to move down more decisively as well. So like Steve was saying, the economy is like an oil tanker, and we're now, because we have a better perspective and more hindsight, you can see the shift in the oil tanker in the wrong direction. And as he was also saying, it's not going to be easy, if impossible, to get it moving back in the right direction. So yeah, the ISM services was an absolute big shocker on top of a week where we got quite a few of them.
Yeah, Jeff, and if you look further into the ISM, what did we see? Prices went up. And this is really interesting because we talk about demand issues, and it's really easy to see them when you see prices go up, which is fine, but inventories went up. And that should be a huge red flag that says consumers cannot afford higher prices. And now all of a sudden, what are we starting to hear? And we already know, because you've done just an extensive amount of work on how high inventory levels are to begin with, that you're now seeing companies start to come out and say, well, you know what? Maybe our inventory levels are getting a little too high. And it's very evident that the payroll report here almost doesn't matter. It's just reflecting kind of the deceleration of the economy. And if anyone's looking at that as a gauge, they shouldn't, because it's highly likely we might be in the middle of a recession before that thing even goes negative. And that's very common. It's very rare that the non-farm payroll report is going to give us any indication of that. But what we're seeing again is this big drop in demand. And Jeff, if you would have asked me a couple months ago, I would have certainly said, yes, we know for a fact that services follows manufacturing. But if you would ask me, hey, do you think around April, May, you'd see employment drop? I said, you know what? I might be a little wrong, and I'll be willing to bet that we would actually see services sector expansion a little bit further before fall, just because of the summer months. This is telling us, going into the biggest spending months of the year, there's deep problems in the services sector. This is not, again, a good sign for the direction of where we're headed. And a rate cut or even a balance sheet slowdown won't make any difference.
What did we hear this week from the corporate world, right? I mean, it's not just these statistics from the government. It's not just the ISM's number. The ISM's number is backed up by what we heard from Starbucks and McDonald's and KFC. And restaurants had been doing really well. they had been the one part of the consumer economy that had been holding up because everybody kept going out to eat. It was easy to do, nominal increases and all that stuff. Suddenly, Starbucks says we can't find any customers. Sales are actually down. McDonald's says the same thing. Our customers are broke. KFC, same store sales, they're negative. So it's a consistent picture, as Steve, you just said it exactly as I would. The establishment survey by itself really doesn't tell us anything. Where it fits in the wider scheme of data. As we started out saying a couple months ago, heading into this year, what we would expect to see is that more and more of these statistics that looked absolutely incredible, terrific, like GDP, over time, they're going to migrate into the other side where a lot of stuff already was. You know, JOLTS and some of the manufacturing surveys, they had suggested things were going in the wrong direction. And if we were really heading in toward reflation and a rebound and recovery, we'd see the opposite. Some of those things that were alarming last fall would move back into the good category. Instead, it's the more of the stuff in the good category are moving in the wrong direction. They're moving into the bad category. Now, the payroll report isn't all the way there, but the fact that it stumbled at all suggests it's beginning to move maybe in that direction.
Yeah, that's right, Jeff, because if we were actually seeing the soft landing scenario, and I don't care about analyst predictions of where the number would be, but what we should do is actually see a stronger non-farm payroll report. We didn't see that. We're now seeing decline in employment in the services sector. And it starts to make perfect sense why Powell seemed a bit nervous at the press conference, because he's boxed himself in just like every central banker always does every cycle. He's seen the cracks. He's seen it starting to crumble, but he can't do anything. He knows what's coming.
Yeah, he missed his chance. You talked about this a couple months ago. How he was going to have a celebration and a parade and declare victory. I think he missed his chance. He got scared over being criticized by the CPI report. And it's, rather than saying, don't worry about that. That's just oil. It'll self-correct. The economy's awesome. We did it. He then got panicky over the CPI and said, now we got to be hawkish again as maybe the bottom falls out underneath him. Huge thanks to Steve Van Meter for stopping by and joining me today. If you missed our discussion last week on the state of the U.S. consumer, that's the video I've got linked below. As always, I thank you for joining me. Huge thank you, Eurodollar University members and Eurodollar University subscribers. And until next time, take care.